morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm here to talk about that really fun, exciting, uplifting topic, death. So much fun. Okay, I have to tell you that you guys know my story, most of you, I think. I'll just share briefly. I was diagnosed with cancer in August of 2009. And I have been walking that journey since that time. We sat down as a team. Where's my team? Bucky, where are you? Oh, Bucky's gone. Oh, I'm sorry. I just drew attention that Bucky took a bathroom break. How professional of me. Anyway, the teaching team sat down and, you know, decided, you know, what we were going to do, and fears, you know, came up, obviously, and you know, of course, I just automatically said, you know, okay, I know, I'm doing death, right, you know. So, you know, as I struggled to put this together, I was really, when the topic came up, I was at a really good place, because I had had, you know, 11 months at that point, no chemo, and honestly, my life is beautiful. I feel good. I'm doing everything I want to do. I don't have to work. You know, which it was something I had grieved and then began to enjoy. And, you know, it was just like, okay, I can do this death thing, no problem. You know, this is, I'm gonna nail this one. But then last week I had another scan, and something in my bones, I know it's the Holy Spirit, but something told me, and I didn't think that I expressed it out loud to anybody, but I think I did send one email to a group of friends saying that I kind of felt this, that I was heading back to chemo. And a couple of days ago, I got that news that officially my cancer is growing, and it's grown to the point where chemo is necessary. My cancer markers are moving in the direction that we don't want them to move, and I have no idea what any of that means, except for that it's not good. So I am going to be re-entering chemo and facing again from a new perspective the thought that my time on earth is limited. So my talk this morning is fresh, it's new, it's not practiced. It's from the depths of my soul, the Holy Spirit has given it to me through this night. At 3 o'clock in the morning, my daughter woke us up saying there was water dripping from the ceiling and in the family room, and she was trying to fix it, bless her heart. It's like, oh, I just have to turn off the faucet. I'm like, no, I gotta wake up Dad. So we woke up Dad, and he is now working on the broken whatever it is, pipe or something, and it is a great blessing that he is not here, because I don't think I can look at his face when I give this message. So I praise God for a broken pipe. Thank you, Jesus. When I was 11 years old, my friend Bob Cuiava, a super cute 11-year-old with big black glasses and white blonde hair, was gone. My dad held my hand as I walked up to the casket at his wake. My dad, that all of the boys were afraid of in my neighborhood, had tears rolling down his face. It was sorrow, pure and simple sorrow. Bob had been playing with an older cousin and was accidentally shot. It was one of those horrible tragedies that we too often hear about, but the National Rifle Association claims is very rare. Sorry, Mike, my beautiful mountain man and hunter. And a member of NRA. I'm sorry if I, anyway, you guys still love him, right? At 24, my good friend Phyllis, only herself at the young age of 26, was diagnosed with lymphoma. I watched her fight for life, and I laughed and I cried with her. At the time, our favorite album was Cyndi Lauper's She's So Unusual. And I don't know if you remember it, but I'm sure you all remember Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That was 1983, and that was a time when you bought what I called a record, and you listened to it, one song after another, in the exact order that the artist intended. Many times, a beautifully stitched theme woven throughout all the songs together to make this complete work, this beautiful greater message. My first record that I bought was Three Dog Night Golden Biscuit. It would have been unheard of for me to listen to One Is the Loneliest Number without then listening to Easy to Be Hard and then Mama Told Me Not to Come. Occasionally, I must admit that I would painstakingly lift the needle off of the record player and place it down to listen to just one song out of order. And honestly, it just didn't feel right. Some of my friends did not always want to listen to the whole story of the album, and that, of course, would drive me crazy. My highbrow appreciation for the artistic process was disgusted by this lack of music appreciation and just good manners. Phyllis and I would listen to Girls Just Want to Have Fun in the hospital, by the pool, as she was throwing up after chemo treatments, and I sometimes even listened to that song alone as she slept so peacefully. That was when I gave myself permission to cry over her. I remember thinking at the tender age of 23, when my friend was dying, that there was something profoundly beautiful about knowing that you're going to die. It may sound morbid to some of you, but just like listening to an entire album of music, you have this bold opportunity to plan and participate with a keen awakening of the completeness of our time on earth. Phyllis said everything she wanted to say to everyone in her life. She grieved openly and honestly with me, the friends that she lost, because it was just too painful to see her literally dying before our eyes. Many just simply stopped calling and coming to see her. In her very last days, she used every bit of energy to write down the specific wishes she had for her funeral, and this took days. Sometimes she could only get one sentence out, but she wanted it written down, and she wanted it specific. She wanted only yellow roses and a closed casket. I was with her until the day before she died, and when I arrived at the wake, I found that her mother had ignored all the wishes that she so painfully wrote down. I couldn't go to the funeral. I was so mad. But, you know, I'm not here speaking to you because I lost my friend. Bob, my little white-haired friend, at age 11, tragically, I lost him. And I watched my very brave friend, Phyllis, fade away. Last week, Karen spoke about finances because she is uniquely qualified to speak about finances. And so, because you know my journey, I too am now uniquely qualified to speak to you about death. Because I have been told that I will likely die. And statistically speaking, I probably have a few years left, maybe three. You may be very fortunate, and no one has ever spoken those words into your life. So this morning, let me tell you, you're going to die. Every one of you. And this is not one of those misery loves company statements. It is my hope that this morning you will realize in a unique way that you are going to die. And there is something amazingly, incredibly beautiful in the knowledge of that. Today, it is not common for us to buy the album or the complete record, and iTunes and iPods have reduced my listening pleasures to sound bites and short songs. I remember driving with my daughters when they were younger as they pressed the buttons to switch the radio stations and to quickly move from one track on the CD to another. It was just an assault on my senses. Kind of like the remote and the guys. Given my circumstances, I must say, I really do not like it when I read that someone has lost the battle with cancer. It drives me crazy. As Christians, we know with complete confidence that Christ has conquered death. And not just death for him, but for all. We can tend to focus on the part of Christ's story that standing alone is powerful, but is not the complete story. It's not the complete work of his amazing album. This is the part, we tend to focus on this one part where Jesus took all of our sins from us and removed the guilt of those sins so that we have eternal life. And that eternal life is kind of like, yay, we have eternal life, but I don't have to feel guilty about my sins now. I can live a joyous, triumphant life. And honestly, that's what I focused on before this latest journey. Jesus died for my sins. I forget that I have eternal life and how beautiful that life will be. He also died so that we could experience life eternally. Our life on earth is really but a moment compared to the eternity we will live with Jesus in heaven. It is that we are resurrected that we tend to avoid because in our humanness, in our flesh, we really want to stay here. We want to be with our families. We want to be with my friends. With our friends, Freudian slip. But even the pain of losing a loved one and leaving your earthly loves behind, ladies and gentlemen, it is not near as beautiful as the resurrected life we will know in eternity. Yesterday at the garage sale, I was speaking to Una and Sam about my sermon this morning, and Sam told me something about Ravi Zacharias. Where's Sam? Oh, he's helping the kids. I keep calling on people who aren't here. Ravi Zacharias is a famous defender of our faith. And when asked why God does not give us more details about life in heaven, his answer was this. If he did, we would be so discouraged by this little life that we would only want to be there now. God always knows what he's doing in every act. It was amazing coincidence that God laid on my heart the same scripture that Carol read. That's just another little detail of how amazing he is. From 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44, I'm going to read the Message translation. This image of planting a dead seed and raising a live plant is a mere sketch at best, but perhaps it will help in approaching the mystery of the resurrection body, but only if you keep in mind that when you're raised for good, alive forever. The corpse that is planted has no body, no beauty, but when it's raised, it's glorious. Put in the ground, weak, it comes up powerful. The seed sown is natural. The seed grown is supernatural. The same seed, the same body, but what a difference from when it goes down in physical mortality and when it is raised up into spiritual immortality. recently I had an opportunity to choose a song as the theme song for a retreat I was involved in. And I know some of you know it. It's a song called Beautiful Things. And when I chose that song, I was guilty of that very act that I described earlier, those soundbite tragedies, because I listened to that song alone, and I didn't take the time to listen to the whole album, the whole story that was written by this Holy Spirit-filled couple. In the album, Beautiful Things, it takes the story of God's work from creation to revelation. And beautiful things is, of course, that thing that is spoken of after God creates everything. And the line is, you make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of us. And after the retreat was over and I took a deep breath and I said, you know what, I want to learn more about this couple that wrote this song. I want to know the bigger story. And I listened to the whole album and I saw them in concert by coincidence, by utter God coincidence. I bought tickets months ago to another concert, not knowing that they were going to be there. And then 3 days before, when I looked at the details, miraculously God put them there to sing the song just for me, because it's all about me, right? Anyway, so there's another song on the record that talks about the victory that Christ has over death. And that song is called When Death Dies. And we have words to it. We're going to play it, and we're going to just meditate on it as we play it. And then I'll have some closing remarks. You know, as we listen and read it, I just want to remind you of the miracle that is so much more vast than we can ever imagine, than we can ever hold in our human minds. And the victory that Christ had over death is not, it's not trivial. It's huge. And it's so much more than the pain in any way, shape, or form that we feel down here on this earth. So enjoy the song.
Thank you.
On Monday night, you know, after getting the news about this latest chapter in my journey, I was at a meeting and somebody handed me this book, Now That I Have Cancer, I Am Whole. And we had a few minutes as a group to kind of sit down and write some reflections on where God was working in our heart. And because I was so overwhelmed by the news at that moment and not really knowing where to place it, I couldn't write. So this person gave me this book and I decided, well, I'm not really supposed to be doing this, but I'm going to read instead of write, and I'm going to see what God has to tell me. And I did systematically look for something that I thought might specifically apply to my point in life. And I read this. Workers in the field of addictions tell us that at the heart of any addiction is the belief that love is limited, that there isn't enough to go around, that it has to be hoarded. When one feels left out from limited love is when addictions develop, to try to fill the empty spaces. But death, strangely, is God's way of saying that isn't so. His way of letting us know that love has no limits, that there is so much love to go around that each of us can have a unique life in this world and pass on without a trace of us remaining, and the level of love isn't lowered even a bit. So now that I have cancer, I grieve already for the loss my death will bring to the world. For I am unique. No one can replace me. But that uniqueness is also a word of love. There is great sadness in the thought of my uniqueness passing from the scene. But there is great hope in the limitlessness of love. I'm going to pray. And then Pam Molinari, where's Pam? There she is. Is going to share a little bit about her journey. And it really is going to be a beautiful closing to our What Keeps You Up at Night series, because Pam has, in a firsthand, personal way, experienced all the fears that we've covered. So pray with me. My Father of love, thank you so much for the gift that you have given me, because you have awakened my mind to a new level of understanding about your plan and what eternity really means. That sorrow and tears and anything having to do with earthly fallenness will be gone. And we will all live with you forever in eternity, rejoicing and praising that we are part of your plan. I thank you that as you teach me, you allow me the opportunity to share what I learn with others. And I would ask that you use what I learn to change the hearts and the minds and the spirits of all of those who hear it, that they may know how much you love us, that your love is so much bigger than any sorrow we can have, and that your work, even through our sorrow, is so amazing that when we embrace it and let it flow, we know a little bit about what heaven will be right here on earth. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.